she eventually said. On the last pages of his war diary, Edward Thomas wrote, "I never understood quite what was meant by God," and in pencil the following three lines: "Where any turn may lead to heaven, or any corner may hide hell. Roads shining like river uphill after rain." Robert Frost wrote to Helen in condolence, "I want to see him to tell him something. I want to tell him what I think he liked to hear from me, that he was a poet."
That final part of Now All Roads Lead to France was read by Tobias Menzies. It was abridged by Richard Hamilton and produced by Emma Harding. And at 3:15 on Monday afternoon, Sir Alec Guinness reads from My Name Escapes Me, one of his memoirs.
Inspiration.
I had this dream about heads on wheels.
Hard work.
He's the ace. He's amazing. And that's how it all started. Messing around on a mandolin in the flat here in Manchester.
And creative ways to save money.
All you see on screen is kind of three eyes blinking in the darkness. And that's radically inexpensive.
Remembering the studio that was home to Danger Mouse, Count Duckula and Chorlton and the Wheelies.
It was weird, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's why I liked it, I suppose.
Crikey DM, David Jason's tribute to Cosgrove Hall. This Saturday morning at 10:30 over on BBC Radio 4.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello, this is Jim Lee at 3 o'clock, and that's the time for the 60-minute drama where John Sessions is the star of an Arnold Bennett romantic thriller. In the 4 o'clock show, Mel Gedroych visits Edinburgh Zoo's star attraction, the Giant Pandas, and introduces the final chapter in Bruce Coville's My Teacher is an Alien. And later, a menacing assignment awaits the student sorcerer Arkos. The Heart of Harkoon, Peter and Jamie Thompson's fantasy adventure starring Trevor Peacock, is in the 7th Dimension at 6 o'clock. Now, on a whim, an American tycoon buys the Grand Babylon Hotel and is thrown into a world of intrigue, espionage and murder.
What's happening to me? Oh God, I'm dying.
Arnold Bennett's The Grand Babylon Hotel, Part 2.
Help me.
In Part 1, American railroad magnate Theodore Wraxall and his daughter Nella cross the Atlantic to stay at London's Grand Babylon Hotel, a hotel of legendary exclusivity.
See the black door? That's the east entrance, only for royalty. It's a noose every day.
Nella Wraxall is a young woman who likes to get what she wants. And to celebrate her birthday...
I know exactly what I want. Fillet of steak and a bottle of Bass beer.
Faced with an obstinate head waiter,
Jules... The compliments of Monsieur Rocco. He will be unable to serve steak and Bass tonight.
Wraxall behaves with characteristic recklessness and buys the hotel from Felix Babylon.
I will sell the hotel to you for £400,000 and one guinea.
But things are not what they seem at the Grand Babylon, and Wraxall and Nella are soon embroiled in mystery, betrayal, and murder.
His heart stopped. He's dead.
Nella tries to solve the mysterious disappearance of Grand Duke Eugen with the help of Prince Aribert. While Wraxall discovers that Jules is not what he seems, Nella rashly traces one of the conspirators, Miss Spencer, to a house in Ostend and questions her at gunpoint. But Nella is too bold for her own good and is outwitted by the lethal Miss Spencer.
What are you doing to me?
Oh, sorry. I should have said. I'm rolling up the sleeve of your dress. I'm going to give you an injection. Here comes the needle. Good night.
The Grand Babylon Hotel, Part 2.
The cold, tickling,
The needle. Black shoes. Glossy black. Miss Spencer's black shoes. Last thing I saw. The cold. Tickling. It's bright and I'm rocking. Water. A boat. Yes. I'm on a boat. Think. Never. A yacht. Sails not set, so we're under steam. Doing about 7 or 8 knots. Think, Nella. Now, here's another boat, a paddle steamer. I could get help. First thing, wave at them and... Oh, I'm tied up. Who is it? I can't turn. Damn you.
Beautiful morning, isn't it, Miss Raxall?
Sure. Or do you prefer Thomas Jackson? Let me loose.
Of course. There you are. I only secured you to the chair to prevent you falling. You were quite unconscious.
Your woman. She was going to kill me. Where is she?
Have no fear. Miss Spencer is ashore. She did not enjoy being held at gunpoint, and she has my sympathies. She wanted to frighten you. You were the victim of no more than a powerful sedative.
Drugged and kidnapped?
Civilization. It's a very thin veneer. Think of you and your father brandishing revolvers.
When my father gets to know of this...
Your precious father is less effectual than you think. There's nothing like a clever man to fall for a childish trick.
What have you done to him? Is he hurt?
Yes. His pride is severely bruised.
Just who are you?
I'm a hired hand. Sometimes I smooth the ripples, sometimes I create them. My only loyalty is to myself. I live by my wits, and that is the whole of my law.
And what did your law say about Mr. Dimmock?
Mr. Dimmock was an accident. Your colour rises, Miss Raxall. You have spirit. There are too many bland people in the world. From the moment I saw you, I wondered, is this the woman?
This is very sudden, Jules. How can I answer you?
Yes? Oh! God, what a right hand you have. Please, my dear, not in front of the crew. I have my position to think of. Ah, Mahmoud, thank you. Miss Raxall, some hot chocolates, pastries. You haven't breakfasted here. Nope, I don't think Miss Raxall is quite ready for breakfast. Clear up later, Mahmoud. Later! You and I, Miss Raxall. Your beauty and wealth and my brains, there is nothing we could not do.
An interesting proposition. But I'm not altogether sure how Miss Spencer would fit into these new domestic arrangements.
Why did someone with your gay butterfly existence mix yourself up in my affairs at all? Why put yourself in the way of danger?
What do you mean to do with me?
Keep you in a place of safety until my operations are concluded. Perhaps I shall wear down your resistance.
Will you at least answer some of my questions?
Certainly.
The importance of Suite 111.
A very discerning question. Imagine that you could eavesdrop the most important and secret meetings of Europe. You look surprised, Miss Raxall. What is it?
Oh! Oh, there! How on earth... Oh, if only you'd come just a minute later. He was going to tell me everything.
Nella, you astonish me.
Is he all right? I hope he won't die. He looks pale.
Such sympathy for a man who abducts you. You are unique among women, Nella. Men like him don't die until they hang. Come on, before we are seen, help me with the dinghy. You were so quick, so impetuous, and I was slow-witted. I thought you intended to trace Miss Spencer's whereabouts, not to physically follow her. What were you thinking?
I don't know. I wasn't going to let her get away with it.
Mind the jib as it comes about. When I realized what you had done, I followed you. I found the house in Vogelstraat.
How? I was the only one with a clue.
A search of all the records for all foreign nationals who had bought or rented a property in the city the last year.
Where would you begin?
With the Ostend police. They are conscientious to a fault, and I did ask them very persuasively.
You're more than just a prince, aren't you, Arabert?
I undertake other duties for the Emperor. The jib, Nella!
It hardly came close.
You did all that for me?
It was just before dawn. The birds were singing. I saw the front door open. Thomas Jackson and Miss Spencer carried a bundle, a human bundle, out of the house. The cloth fell away. The bundle was you. Your face, white, blank. I thought you were dead. They put you into a cab. The birds sang more than ever. I followed. At the docks, there was a wheelchair. They put you in it. The sun blazed all over the water, and I saw something, something. Your right hand moved. Hope. I climbed aboard the yacht, unobserved, as it is my business to be. Here, give me your hand, this rope. Let some of the wind out of the sail. Pull down, gently, yes, like so. On the yacht, you were very brave.
You have no idea what I felt when you suddenly appeared.
Let me guess, you were annoyed that I distracted you from the attentions of Thomas Jackson.
There was that, of course. He does know how to treat a girl. Arabair, you came all this way after me.
A little less tension on the rope, Miss Raxall. Let me show you. That's better. Exactly.
Arabair, could I have my hand back now?
If you insist. Nella. Nella.
Yes. What were you going to say?
The harbour. We're approaching the harbour.
The day is perfect, but I can see stormy weather immediately ahead.
I'm sorry? Oh, yes. I do see what you mean.
Nella, you have been reckless in the extreme. If it wasn't for Prince Arabair's resourcefulness, I shudder at your possible fate. After your telegram, Prince, I crossed the channel as fast as I could. I have booked us rooms at the Hotel Wellington.
You have no idea what I've gone through in worrying after you.
What you went through? At least it would have kept your mind occupied when you were in that lift. How long was it again?
Are those drinks coming?
This place is not a Grand Babylon, Father.
You look pale, my dear. You must rest. Thank you. There is something we must settle, Prince, which is whether we shall tell the police at once all that has occurred, or whether we shall proceed on our own.
Well, surely we go back to the house on Vogelstraat. Grand Duke Eugen is almost certainly a prisoner there. We've discovered that even we don't know what Thomas Jackson's plan is. If he's not, we find out where he is.
How?
By persuading Miss Spencer to talk.
Nella?
Oh, I could do it.
Yes, I think you could. But these people are gangsters. Every consideration of prudence points to the advisability of taking the police into our confidence and leaving the matter entirely in their hands.
But, Mr. Raxall...
Every consideration of prudence? Father, I'm looking around the dining room, but I can't see your shareholders present. It's me you're talking to.
You too. You are on fire with the ardor of the chase. I understand that. But accept the advice of an older man. And by God, the last couple of days have made me feel it. Let us sleep on this affair. Nella, off with you to bed. The prince and I will present you a plan in the morning.
I am tired.
Sleep well, my dear. No nightmares.
Good night, Father. Good night, Arabair.
Good night, Nella.
Well, that was easier than I thought it was going to be. Now, I fancy that I am, after all, your man for a little amateur investigation tonight.
You are?
Oh, yes. I believe we must act now. I was anxious to keep Nella out of harm's way. She is a very difficult creature to manage.
She is a young lady of quite remarkable nerve.
I sometimes wish she had less.
I have the highest admiration for your daughter, Mr. Raxall. The highest. You do understand me?
Ah. I see. Yes.
Such a moment. Inevitable. Being a parent, knowing what is to come, but still being surprised by it.
You honor us, Prince, but let us address the business of tonight. You have used the police once, but I sense you do not wish to do so again.
That is so. These are delicate family matters, but now, perhaps...
Of course.
My nephew Eugen is a rash and headstrong man. A casino exerts an almost irresistible attraction to him, even exceeding the attraction exerted by women and wine. I tried to use Mr. Dimmock as a moderating influence, but to limited effect. But at the beginning of the year, Eugen met and fell in love with a young woman. Not any young woman, of course. Princess Anna of Schwarzburg. They became betrothed. Eugen seemed to become more settled in his ways. But this disappearance, his kidnapping by Thomas Jackson,
If this is true, I'm in the dark.
Princess Anna. Yes, I see. Perhaps I can cast light on your darkness. You remember the card clutched in Mr. Dimmock's fist?
Why, yes.
It bore the name Samson Levi. And before I received your telegram and set off for our stand, I called on him. An engaging little man with the tiniest, most unprepossessing of offices in Throckmorton Street. He calls himself the court pawnbroker. He arranges loans for what he calls the second-class princes of Europe.
Ah, now things grow clearer.
Eugen was $1 million in debt and needed to clear it.
I did not know it was so much, but I'm not surprised. Eugen can gamble away £1,000 as easily as you or I could eat a sandwich.
He had arranged a private loan of £1 million with Mr. Levi. The papers had to be signed by the 10th day of this month, or the money would no longer be available.
Today is the 9th.
Eugen had to be able to show a clean balance sheet to Princess Anna's parents, or they would never consent to her becoming Princess of Posen.
Of course. So, a question arises.
Has any previous application ever been made for the hand of Princess Anna?
Yes, there was. The King of Bosnia. We're getting close to the house. Let me check your weapon, Mr. Raxel. Tonight holds no room for mistakes.
I learned to shoot when, well, I guess you were a schoolboy. I think you'll find everything pretty much in order.
The King of Bosnia sued for Anna's hand in marriage but was rejected. There was no reflection on the king. My nephew was considered a better match. Ah, these marks by the side of the hammer. Drag marks caused by burrs on the inside of the frame. You need to attend to that. Makes for a heavier trigger pull, even a misfire.
A misfire? I'm in your debt, Prince.
Like my gun, I grow rusty.
So, if someone made it impossible for Eugen to sign the papers needed by Samson Levi by the due date...
Then he wouldn't get the loan. He wouldn't be able to marry Princess Anna.
But why would someone block this? I think as a businessman, and the question I always ask when confronted by a puzzling move is, who stands to gain?
Who stands to gain? The King of Bosnia, if his heart was set on Princess Anna, would stand to gain. He would be able to marry the princess. And to achieve this, he used Thomas Jackson, who worked undercover at the Babylon, assisted by Miss Spencer. We're here, Mr. Raxel. A light in the upper room.
Another, below. Whoever is there is coming downstairs. The side wall?
Yes, I'll make a step for you with my hands.
You're sure you can hold my weight?
Step up, please.
You've done this before.
I've had a little practice.
The light on the ground floor has gone off.
Down here, then, to the servants' entrance. Jemmy, please, Mr. Raxel. Hidden away, these poor servants' entrances. But it makes it all the easier for burglars to break in and steal from their rich masters. There. Done it. The covered lantern, please. Be ready with your revolver.
What is our plan?
I go into the darkness, using the smallest chink of light.
And I?
2 yards behind.
See that glow?
A door. A grating in it. Wait. Oh, my God. More light, please.
Let me see. He's breathing. That's...
Eugen, can you hear me? His eyes. What are they looking at?
Someone else is here.
Stop there. You mustn't come here. You must get out. Get out now before Tom comes back.
Miss Spencer, Prince Araber and I are armed. We are determined men. Why must we get out?
She's got a knife, Raxel.
Keep away from me.
Miss Spencer, let's not have a fandango. You've got pluck, but you're not going to stab anyone with that knife. You and I, let us go upstairs and talk this through.
Raxel.
I was half right. She did go upstairs, but half wrong. How dare she? I feel lightheaded.
Shock, please sit down. There, back against the wall. Let me look. Let me pull your jacket. It's a flesh wound, shallow. The bleeding will stop. Just hold the handkerchief in place.
You know what I shall have to do.
What's that?
I shall have to let her go. No references either.
That's an excellent course of action, Mr. Rexall. Sit tight. Keep pressing on the handkerchief. I shall go upstairs in pursuit of Miss Spencer.
No, I shall join you.
Are you sure this is altogether wise?
I'm not 100%, but I can cover your back.
Daughter, father, there's no arguing with either of you.
With cat-like tread upon our prey we steal.
Shh, 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 my friend. Front door, double bolted from the inside. She hasn't left the house. Why not? She's outnumbered. Why stay? She's gone in search of a more effective weapon. Unlikely, but possible. Empty. Empty. Was that from upstairs? I think it was. Follow me, Mr. Rexall. Quietly does it, step by step. A voice coming through the door. Mr. Rexall, you should stay back.
But I recognize that voice, don't you?
Rexall, the bleeding has started again. I implore you. Dimmock, alive? Here? I saw Dimmock die. We both saw his body.
Good old Dimmock. I think you're right, Erebor. I'm going to have to sit down. I'm sorry.
Rest here. What in the name of sanity is this? Phonograph. A recording? What?
It's a trap. That's what it is.
You! I can't breathe!
I'm wearing a mask to protect against the gas you've just inhaled. The new style of warfare, so Tom tells me. I broke a vial just at the moment you entered the room. Chlorine, carbon monoxide. Phosgene, they call it. Yes. It does seem to work as fast as Tom said. What a funny colour you've gone. Good night.
What? What?
Wake up, damn you.
Nella.
Don't you die now, Prince.
I've never seen you look so angry. I don't think I would dare die, Nella, when you look at me like that.
You and Papa. There's an arrogance about men. I slept a little, I woke, I thought, what was all that talk about let's not go to the police? It was obvious where you'd go, but I, being just a feeble woman, wasn't invited. And where is Papa?
Down the corridor. He should be fine.
Should be fine?
He was... He's resting.
Resting? Show me.
Help me up, Nella.
Here. Clean yourself up. Your eyes, your nose. Oh, wow. Give me the handkerchief. I'll do it. You're all right, Erebor. Father, who made this imitation of a bandage for you? Hopeless. Oh, don't mention any names. You might incriminate Prince Erebor. A singularly ineffectual attempt, if I may say so. The Grand Duke Eugen will be locked in there all night at this rate.
Erebor's doing his best. You want to jemmy the door yourself, Nella?
No, I have a different plan. I'll try the key I found hanging up on the wall.
Eugen! Eugen, my dear cousin! You're safe now. He doesn't even seem to know I'm here. Eugen, it's me. Speak to me.
We've come to get you out of this scrape, Eugen. We're your friends.
Friends?
Erebor, what are you doing here? What is this place?
We're here to help you, cousin. Take my arm.
I can't. She'll hurt me again.
He's been drugged. This is what they did to Dimmock. Get this man to bed. He needs rest. He needs sustenance. He needs a doctor. Father, Erebor, you? I seem to be the only person in one piece.
Morgan.
Morgan? What is it, Morgan?
I've heard that before. But where and when?
Don't trouble yourself, Eugen. Try and drink this. You're burning up. Your pulse, it comes and goes.
It's safe?
I've opened the windows. The gas has dissipated. Now, look upon this, Mr. Raxall.
Eugen's getting worse. What on earth? On those shelves? Cylinder after cylinder.
When I found the way down from suite 111 to the royal apartments, that was the machine I stumbled against.
Phonograph. A very neat system. Elegant, even. Nella, choose a cylinder. Set the apparatus in action, if you please. The royal apartments of the Grand Babylon Hotel have been infiltrated. That is the voice of the Emperor.
Suite 111 is really just a doorway to the secrets of Europe.
A lurid but not inaccurate summary.
It adds a whole new dimension to business. If I had a recording of what E.H. Harriman was planning...
Think how Europe divides up the continent of Africa like a cake at a party for greedy children. How useful to know what the other party thinks.
There's a side to you, Prince Arabert, that slightly worries the Republican in me.
Why have they left all this behind?
Oh, look at the dates. The most recent is 2 months ago. This is merely an archive.
They've left it all behind because it doesn't matter.
But it does matter. It means we know the secret of Thomas Jackson and Miss Spencer.
Another thought, then. They've left it all behind, not because it doesn't matter, but because they're planning to destroy it. And us, too.
We are sitting on a powder barrel, and the fuse is burning.
Now who's lurid?
Oh, get down now, on the floor. Do as I say. They're shooting at us. Nella, I think your thesis was right.
Thank you.
Shooting? But there are no gunshots. The whole street would be awake.
New weapon. We're being shot at with a silenced air rifle of unusually high power, loaded with revolver bullets. I do not suppose this will come easily to either of you, but for the next few minutes, do exactly what I say.
Windows, shutters, doors, anything else, Arabert?
Cellar.
We were rather too successful in opening the cellar door. I made a barrier against it. You really think they're going to come back after us?
I do.
Jackson and Miss Spencer, they are that dangerous?
We have Eugen. We are beginning to unravel their plan.
Yes, yes, I see. I see what you say.
Upstairs, Mr. Raxall. You hear that?
Yes. I have your back.
Who's... Don't shoot.
I'm feeling quite refreshed, but still a little dizzy. Please, why are you two gentlemen pointing guns at me?
My dear Eugen, we have been so worried. Let me cut you another slice of ham.
Well, he's eating heartily enough, even if he hasn't got much to say for himself.
Mr. Dimmock suddenly became well and developed an appetite before he...
God, Nella, please!
Oh, he's so much better, but you're still worried.
Not just about Eugen. There's something wrong. There is a deception at work here.
A deception?
We're acting as though the house is under siege, but in reality, we were exposed to 2 gunshots around an hour ago. We can't see anyone in the street. We've barricaded ourselves in, but against what? I think Thomas Jackson and Miss Spencer are concerned in some other affair and have merely stalled us.
You think they've bluffed us?
I'm sure of it. Mm.
What are you doing? Where are you going?
I'll show you.
Don't think of it. Wait!
Nothing. No assassins, just an Ostend street. Just dawn and the birds.
Nella, I can hardly speak.
I've never seen you angry.
Then you and I are now equal. Your rashness, Nella, it nearly stops my heart.
Arabert.
Yes?
Kiss me. I'm not made of, what's that stuff? Sevres porcelain? If you were to... Yes, that's better. Well, let me just get my breath back I'm glad we seem to have sorted something out between us.
Miss Raxall.
Prince Arabert.
I...
Go on.
I must ask you...
Hold on. Is that a cab?
Good Lord.
We must find a doctor for the Grand Duke and organize our departure.
Amazing. After all we've been through, this place almost feels like home. My God, and to think, Nella, we came here for a holiday. Item, never take a holiday. Work, in my experience, is far more relaxing.
Eugen, let me escort you to your rooms. You're feeling better.
I think I am, a little, but my mind is still cloudy. There's something important I must remember. When Miss Raxall stepped out of the house at dawn, it nearly came to
You me. Will be yourself again, cousin. We shall sort out the debt. I have asked for Mr. Samson Levi. We shall arrange things. Your memory will get better, your marriage will proceed, and...
Gentlemen! Miss Raxall, Mr. Raxall, you should know that...
What is it, Miss Ferguson?
It's quite unexpected. No one told me. Oh, thank goodness you're here. We've had a telegram. The Emperor is due here by the end of the day.
The Emperor? Miss Ferguson, is Mr. Babylon still here?
I think he has departed for Switzerland.
For the Emperor to come in person, and I knew nothing of it. What is happening?
The Emperor keeps nothing from you, Arabert.
The cause is something recent in that case. So recent that because you were on your way to meet Eugen, you didn't learn of it. You see, there are two series of events here intersecting. The first is the kidnapping of Grand Duke Eugen to prevent his marriage. The second is to do with the Emperor.
When Nella went out of the house, it reminded you of something, Eugen. Something you thought was important.
There's a fuzziness in my head.
Think, man, think.
Take your time, Eugen. Think back to this morning. I unbolted the front door.
Huh?
Arabert called after me. I pushed the door open. I stepped outside. It was dawn.
Dawn, yes. Daybreak. Morgan Dameron.
Morgan. That was what Mr. Dimmock tried to say.
A document. I had it in an inner pocket of my greatcoat.
It was an official document you had.
After they drugged me, that woman, she searched me. When they read the document, they were very excited. They no longer seemed interested in me.
What was the document?
It was called the Morgan Dameron Treaty. You see, Arabert, the Empress sent Mr. Dimmock to brief you about it.
But Mr. Dimmock had already been suborned by Jackson and Miss Spencer in their attempt to forestall your marriage.
Oh, I'm useless, fit for nothing.
Why is the treaty so important?
Oh, God, I have made a mess of everything, haven't I? It's easy for you. You're strong. Strong people don't know what it's like, to my sort. The Treaty of Dawn. A new arrangement conceived by the Emperor to stabilize Middle Europe. Three European rulers due to meet at the Grand Babylon Hotel to meet and ratify the treaty in conditions of the highest secrecy. Secrecy? What a joke I made of that.
Nella, please see who it is. Eugen, you must find the strength to deal with Mr. Levi. You must secure your loan, or Jackson and Miss Spencer will have succeeded and ruined all hopes of your marriage.
Mr. Samson Levi.
Mr. Levi, good day to you.
Good day, Grand Duke. Good day, Prince. I hope I haven't got my royal titles in a muddle.
Not at all.
Will you take a seat?
Thank you.
Now, as to that loan, which we had already practically arranged, $1 million, I think it was?
$1 million.
Everything is now in order. I have been delayed, but should like to finish the matter up at once.
Exactly, Your Highness, but...
But what? You, months ago, expressed the warmest satisfaction at the security. You also agreed to the rate of interest. In 10 years, the whole amount will be paid back.
Hmm.
I believe I inform you that the fortune of Princess Anna, who is about to accept my hand, will ultimately amount to something like 50 millions of marks, which is over £2 million in your English money.
True, but it's like this. I said I could keep the money available till the 10th day of this month, and you were to give me an interview here before that date. It is now the 11th day, as any calendar will tell you. And not having heard from you, I concluded that you had made other arrangements, money being so cheap this last few months.
I have made no other arrangements.
Ah.
I need the million. If you will be so good as to pay it to my London bankers...
I'm very sorry, but my syndicate has now lent the money elsewhere, as in South America. I don't mind telling Your Highness that we've lent it to the Chilean government. Bet you never knew Chile had a government.
If you do not place the money in my hands tomorrow, you will ruin one of the oldest of reigning families and, incidentally, alters the map of Europe.
Oh, come, come, my lord. Ruin? Inconvenience, surely. As for rewriting the maps of Europe, that's the prerogative of the nobility, as some of the Levi family could tell you.
You are not keeping faith!
I can look at myself in the mirror, sir, without too much reproach. Good day.
What can you see, Tom?
The royal suite, yes. With the preparations we have made. And higher up, two figures. Let me just adjust the focus. Ah, Harry Bear and Eugen, up in the hotel roof gardens. I wonder what they're saying. One or two recriminations there, I imagine.
Your plan, it will work. So very fast and improvised, not your normal style.
What we learned from Eugen, we have turned to advantage. Disrupt this meeting, and we will be paid a sum of money that will, well, allow us to live the life these people lead. We have to make this work. Consider our opponents, Miss Spencer. Starting with the most aristocratic and working down, A. Grand Duke Eugen. Weak and to be discounted. B. Prince Harry Bear. Strong, but riddled with socialist tendencies. C. Raxol. Brave, but with a tendency to blunder.
You've left one person out.
The girl, Miss Raxol. Yes, she has a way of being alive to danger, of keeping pace with us.
Silly little rich girl.
Come, Miss Spencer, below deck, and ready ourselves for what is to come.
All of London spread out. I've never seen such a sight, Harry Bear. I wish I could be on that pleasure boat without a concern in the world, but I can't. I have failed my country in every way, and unlike the little moneylender, I do not welcome the mirror.
That leaves you only one course of action. Redeem yourself, cousin. You shall help the Emperor and myself as this meeting proceeds. You are part of the dynasty. Somehow money must be borrowed.
My course of action is very clear. You're right, Harry Bear. I shall speak to the Emperor. I'm not a fit person to rule Posen. I shall step down from my title. At least I have the strength to carry that through.
Eugen, think about this. That would mean...
You look stricken, Harry Bear. So what would it mean if Eugen stood down as ruler of Posen? Why would it matter?
It would mean that I should become ruler.
I could think of worse things than being the princess of Posen, though I haven't, of course, been formally asked.
Nella, our law does not permit of a morganatic marriage.
What sort of marriage?
An unequal marriage between a man of the upper nobility and a woman who is, as we would say in my country, forgive me, the daughter of a burgher, a common citizen.
Your country, as we would say in my country, is in need of modernization.
I do not disagree.
But there must be a way
I could probably persuade the Emperor to grant me a waiver. But German law would still prevail. If we had children, they would have no status and be unable even to inherit from me. And you would have no status.
I'm American. I'm a Raxol. I don't need status.
Bravely spoken, Nella, but in ballrooms and drawing rooms across Europe, to see you at my side, but as the woman without a title, I don't think either of us could bear that. But I cannot renounce my duty to Posen. God, I wish with all my heart I'd been born without a drop of nobility in my blood.
Oh, Arabear. I'll talk to Papa. He's figured his way out of all kinds of tough situations. I look forward to explaining to him that he's a burgher. Now, we must get ready for the arrival of the Emperor. Suite 111?
Sealed, but Thomas Jackson would never take that route again.
I wouldn't care to double guess Thomas Jackson.
The Thames Embankment. Evening. A hot night. Item. Shrill whistles from the doorkeepers. Gold braided as the hansoms drive up. A private carriage drawn by a self-conscious horse. Horse looks more dignified than the owner. Item. A large, dapper man examining with close interest a cigar. Hey, wait a minute.
Theodore.
Felix. I thought you departed for Switzerland.
Oh, My goodness, Freund. Have one of these. A man is incomplete without a cigar, huh? I nearly did return to Switzerland, but I found my attachment to this hotel stronger than I supposed. And then, earlier today, I saw, would you believe this, Jules.
Funnily enough, I would.
Standing just here before he strode off. His hair was dyed a different color, his clothes shabby, but the tilt of his head, unmistakable.
That damn nose in the air. But here, surely, we are above the cellars of the hotel. Look, a ventilation grill. Loose. We stood underneath it 2 days ago. Look down, Felix. Just as Jules and Miss Spencer had a private entrance to the royal suite, so they had one to the hotel itself.
What are you staring at?
The Romane Conti, the 1880 vintage. The wine the emperor and the rest of his clan always drinks. It would be easy enough to tamper with the wine.
You think perhaps our conspirators have poisoned the imperial wine? Oh, fantastic.
My daughter has been kidnapped. I've been stabbed. The man who presumes to become my son-in-law has been half-killed with poison gas. So tampering with the wine seems an almost mundane possibility. We must hurry. Oh, I missed out being shot at with a silenced air rifle.
My God.
What time is he supposed to be here?
The Emperor is not a train service. He doesn't run to a schedule. I'm sorry, Nella. Soon, though. Luncheon is approaching. The Emperor is a man of habit. Ah, that woman dusting in the next room. Why can't she just finish and go?
You need to settle your nerves. A glass of wine, Arabert. This looks impressive. Romane Conti. Is my pronunciation correct?
Perfect. Well, it sounded good the way you said it. You still anticipate some final stroke from Mr. Thomas Jackson?
I think we must take all possible care. Jules and Miss Spencer lost interest in Eugen when they learned of the treaty and the meeting to ratify it. Their kidnap plan was replaced by quite another plan. As Father would say, who benefits? If the meeting were disrupted, who would benefit?
Russia, for one. A stable Europe would interfere with all their plans for growth. They would give anything to stop the treaty going through.
You haven't touched your wine. Drink to me, Arabert.
Whatever happens, Nella, you know you are the only woman in the world for me. Some things in life are awesomely simple. I drink to you.
And I to you. Oh, Arabert, come close. Come close to me.
Nella, what is it?
The maid. A maid dusted the room next door 2 hours ago. Why is there another maid there now? Where's your gun, Arabert?
The wine. You've drunk the wine.
I have your gun, Prince Arabert. Stay where you are.
The wine, Father?
What about the wine? Oh, I see. You thought we poisoned the wine.
Excellent idea. But your imagination ran away with you. Miss Spencer, chambermaid's uniform really does become you. And, wearing the uniform of a luggage man, it's amazing. I am invisible in the hotel in which I was once so prominent. As ever, you Raxol seem to be half a step behind us, treading on our heels, tangling us up. Why, Nella, if looks could kill, I'd be well on my way to the mortuary. Open the door only halfway.
Ferguson.
You told me.
Yes.
The Emperor is a minute away.
Thank you.
If you'd have stayed in Ostend just an hour longer. We were going to arrange a small incendiary device in the conference room. Injuries, confusion, distrust. We shall have to improvise yet again. Miss Spencer, do you have your medical bag with you?
Of course. I can see you edging sideways, Prince Arabert. Don't. Unless you want to see the colour of your sweetheart's arterial blood.
My tigress. Now, steady, everyone.
But thanks to Mr. Raxol, Nella and Prince Arabert, the situation is in hand, Emperor.
And what situation is this I behold?
You in the cellar!
Nobody move, please.
What are these people doing?
Arabert, stay where you are.
It's not Arabert you need to worry about, Miss Spencer.
Put it down, Raxol, or I'll shoot her.
Don't listen to her, Papa.
Are you going to kill us all?
I don't think so.
Miss Spencer, Keep the gun on Nella. Move backwards to me.
He's bluffing.
It's a standoff.
No one can win here.
Move back to me. To the balcony.
I could take them both. Raxel, then the Emperor. No meeting, no treaty.
It's too much risk. There's always another day. Backwards, through the French window. Don't worry. I've got you.
Does that woman mean me? I would have preferred a more traditional assassination. But to be shot by a pyramid.
Two steps more. Steadily does it. We're nearly there.
Don't think about it, Miss Spencer.
What are you staring at, Tom? Will you take your eyes off her?
Tom's a little infatuated.
Damn you, Thomas Jackson. Damn all of you to hell. Let's do what we can.
Emperor!
Emperor! Eugen! What have you done?
Thomas Jackson. He was too quick for me. He scaled down the front of the building. There was a rope in place and a launch waiting. Damn it, he's escaped.
Not necessarily. You can describe the launch?
Mm-hmm.
Good. And Miss Spencer?
I winged her. She staggered and fell.
Down to the basement area. The angle of her neck, oh dear. But out of sight of the customers, that at least has turned out well. And the Emperor and Eugen, I can hardly believe what happened.
You said something about the launch, Felix.
Yeah, there is a chance. I have connections at the custom.
It must be done with discretion. No police, no officialdom. I want Jackson for myself.
Naturally, of course.
John Hazel at your service. Shall we walk? After I got your message, I think it would be best if we weren't overheard.
Quite so. You come highly recommended, Mr. Hazel. What you and your customs house men don't know about the Thames between here and Gravesend is knowledge.
Very kind of you, sir.
Accurate man, not kind. I didn't get anywhere in the world by being kind. We shall formulate a plan.
Over lunch.
Lunch? Isn't time of the essence?
Your man's boat won't make a move before sunset. The tide will be on his side then, and he'll want the cover of darkness. Trust me, left down Sailmaker's Passage should see us to Barton's Chop House.
Thank you, Mr. Raxel. For a lunch that we're not actually having together, I must say it's very good.
Not actually. Oh, of course, we're not having lunch, and we haven't met, have we? And I'm certainly not borrowing you, your boat, and your two men. Oh, are they trustworthy?
They know the river. They know their business, and they will do anything within the limits of what's fair if they're paid for it.
I can work with such people.
Dangerous, is it, our little trip?
The man we're after? Oh, yes, I'd say he is. I shall carry a revolver.
I see. In which case, I shall wear my official blue overcoat. Authority or blunt threat. One or other usually carries the day. Tell me, are the magazine writers anything like correct?
How do you mean?
But one often sees articles on millionaires which describe their private railroad cars, their steam yachts on the Hudson, their marble stables and so on. Now, do you happen to have any of those things?
I have a private carriage on the New York Central and a schooner yacht, 2,000-tonner, though it is on the East River right now rather than the Hudson, and I'm bound to admit that the stables of my uptown place are fitted with marble.
Strange how facts like those appeal to the imagination. You seem to be a real millionaire now.
I suppose I do. Well, I am. But after the last few days, I find myself seeing those facts in a rather different way. As really not very important facts at all. Like something in a magazine.
Your health.
What? Yes, yes.
Mr. Raxel.
You sound concerned.
Just come into the room. A young woman with a very penetrating gaze. She's looking straight at us. Well, at you, mostly.
Oh, I told her she wasn't to come. I was explicit. I emphasized it. Nella, what are you doing here?
I followed you.
What am I to say to you?
You are determined to bring Thomas Jackson to justice. At least let me be there to witness it.
Fingers crossed. I hope he believes me.
I can't deny you, Nella.
Though why do I feel she has some other purpose?
Point your bow!
Mom,
Careful now, the path is slippery. These steps take us down to the water and they're treacherous.
Keep your oars!
Here are, lads. See, the wherry coming at us. Or maybe you don't see. Painted black shears so that us officers of the customs can go about our business all the more clandestinely. Evening, lads!
Evening!
Lads, Mr. Tompkins, see Mr. Wraxall and Miss Wraxall steadily onto the vessel now.
That's it, miss. Nicely done. Now, sir?
No, he's not a sack of flour, Tompkins, nor a contraband barrel. He's a gentleman.
Mr. Hazel exaggerates.
Cast off, lads. You comfortable, miss?
Yes, thank you. Now, just stay still and quiet, Nella. Wait for your moment.
Mr. Wraxall, can you give us any more idea of what we're looking for?
As near as I could judge, the boat is about 40 feet long.
Got any markings, did she?
I didn't register any markings. Grey in colour?
Right, you are. Most helpful.
Oh, I shall know her when I see her.
That's a weight off our minds, then.
I forgot to say earlier, the screw of the boat, it seemed to move with an irregular, lame sort of beat. That was my impression. I don't know if it's helpful.
Why didn't you say? That's Jack Everett's launch, that is. She's got a four-bladed propeller and one blade is broken off short.
The Witch of Endor. She usually lies up against Cherry Gardens Pier.
To Cherry Gardens Pier, then.
That's her. Up ahead.
The Witch of Endor. I'll board her. I'll make out that I suspect they're carrying dutiable goods. That'll give me a chance to have a good look at who's on board. Oh, no, she's moving!
Endor! Heave to there! I'm a customs house man! Heave to!
She's ignoring us.
Well, bring us up alongside.
I want to board her.
It's going to be a close thing, sir. We'll be no match for her when she gets underway.
Coming up beside her, Mr. Hazel.
Now, Nella. Now.
See the runs? I'll go first. Now, you're sure about this, Mr. Wraxall? You've got to make a little jump. I'm not certain there's time for the two of us to...
Now.
Nella!
We're veering away.
Oh, do something, Mr. Hazel. Nella!
Ah, there you are, Nella. You don't have to point that at me. I'm not armed.
Yes, you're more subtle than that. Miss Spencer, she was always your weapon.
So, are you going to bring me to justice or administer your own? I'm going to dive over the side, you know.
You stay just where you are.
The things I said to you, Nella. From the moment I saw you in the restaurant, my feelings for you were no less true than Prince Aribert's.
Your feelings for me? Your world runs on a different set of rails to mine.
I have a less than strict approach to the laws of the land, I admit it.
You and your slippery talk. I held Reginald Dimmock in my arms when he died. I felt the jerk his body made when the life went out of him.
That was Miss Spencer.
Oh, that was Miss Spencer.
It's you who's pointing a gun at me.
That's why they invented guns. So someone like me could point one at someone like you.
We have company.
Nella!
What I have done. How different is that from your father? So ruthless in business, Nella. We all of us do what we have to survive.
No, it won't wash you. Do not move. I am serious about this.
You do look as though you know you're doing that, Pistol. I'm not going into custody, as you fully know. Can't tell whether you're going to shoot me, though. What a fierce, beautiful look on your face. I'll always remember that, Nella. Goodbye. Live well.
Nella! Nella! You're all right?
Of course I'm all right.
You were close enough. You did hit him.
The boat moved, but I think so. I'm an excellent shot. I should like to go back to the hotel now, Papa. Take the gun, please, Pa.
So, Miss Wraxall, as I understand, there was first a plot against Eugen, then one against me, and the two were intertwined?
Yeah.
But Eugen is still with us, and the treaty is ratified. Europe is safe for a little span of time. All's well that ends well. But of course the problem with that convenient truism is that nothing really ends, and problems that you thought had ended are merely postponed. Alibert, your services are not overlooked. Mr. Raxel, Miss Raxel, the Empire is in your debt. Shall we make our way to the ballroom? I say, those canopies look rather good.
Thank you, Emperor.
Call me Wilhelm. Now, Eugen, as for you, you have enriched the casinos of Europe and delighted the bartenders of 100 hotels.
Emperor, I am changed.
You are, indeed. I was teasing you. You, Eugen, pushed me aside to step in front of me to receive the bullet aimed at my heart. You are recovered, dear boy.
Oh, Athelis, the bullet glanced off a rib. A little soreness is all.
Ah, if only you had enjoyed such luck in the casinos. But enough. Posen can have no final ruler. On that subject, no further debate. Princess Anna can have no braver husband. Yes, the marriage will go ahead. I have settled your debt. The least I could do. What do you think could we invite the King of Bosnia? Good, good. The ball. I do like a ball. And this, I understand, is the end of Prince Alibert.
Yes, it is my intention to renounce all my rights and titles as a royal prince of Posen, and to be known in future as Count Hartz, a rank to which I am entitled through my mother. And Nella has agreed to be my countess.
Imperial Highness, Grand Duke, Count. Mr. Raxel. Theodore, have you given mind to our conversation of yesterday?
You said you were bored with idleness.
I am. I miss the Grand Babylon.
I miss my railroads.
Are you a seller?
Are you a buyer?
What will you take?
I'll take what I gave.
Done. Have a oil.
I don't think I was accurate a moment ago.
How so, old friend?
I don't really miss my railroads. The railroads I can deputize to some bright young fellow, but I think I'm going to miss Nella. In fact, I know it. The time goes so very fast. When people tell you that, you treat their words as a fanciful account of some distant country. The next thing is, in the blink of an eye, you find yourself in that country. Now you realize those people were trying to send you an urgent message.
What is it you want?
What I want, wealthy as I am, envied as I might be, is a way of life that I can't just deputize to someone. Achieving, winning. Perhaps it is a less than desirable Raxel family trait. A private carriage on the New York Central. Pah! I do think I would like to be the grandfather.
Ah, so. We shall talk on this more, Theodore. There is a whole world out there. But for the moment, in this hotel, in my suite, there is a bottle of that rather special brandy that you found to your liking.
Let me clip your hoyo, Felix.
I see a question in your eyes, Nella.
When we are married, I had hoped to begin our honeymoon in the Grand Babylon Hotel.
If that is what you would like.
I had hoped, well, would it be proper for us to go in through the east entrance?
The royal entrance? What am I going to do with you, Nella? Yes, as Count and Countess, it will be quite proper for us and for our children. Though I hope their children will know better and put aside such fripperies.
Oh, shh, Arabert. Take me in your arms and dance.
The Grand Babylon Hotel by Arnold Bennett was dramatised by Chris Harold. Theodore was played by John Sessions, Nella by Matty Houghton, Aribert, Joe Klosker, Jules, Richard Katz, Miss Spencer, Fenella Woolgar, Felix Babylon, Stephen Greif, The Prince, Stephen Critchlow, Reginald Dimmock, Gunnar Cawthery, Hazel, Jonathan Taffler, Miss Ferguson, Jill Cardo, Tompkins, Inam Mirza, Emperor, Malcolm Tierney, and Samson Levi, Chris Pavlo. The producer was Stephen Canny.
We have such a strange attitude to food. The award-winning comedian Andrew Maxwell confronts threats to society.
I was out one night with a mate of mine from back home in Dublin called Brian. At about 2 a.m, he was telling me that he had to get up early because he was going pigeon hunting.
In a new series of stand-up shows.
Did you know that country pigeons go on day trips to the city?
Andrew Maxwell's Public Enemies.
Because most of the day you have to sit there and watch the flight patterns. Because you only want to be eating a country pigeon on the way into town.
Hear it first in BBC Radio 4 Extras Comedy Club on Monday night at 10:30.
This is the news from the BBC. We transmit round the world and locally.
BBC Radio Young Writers, 25 years on.
I've got it!
He gets it.
Who's going to love you? Someone.
The first radio plays from writers who've gone on to make their mark in theatre, television and film.
What have you done to say you's a man?
Yeah, tell me what I should do, Dad.
Including performances from Alan Cumming, Steve Coogan, Mary Wimbush and Ian Dury.
There had been so many happy endings in the early days that they'd been difficult to handle.
Beginning with Benjamin Zephaniah's Hurricane Dub, tomorrow afternoon at 1:15 on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Well, it's that time of day, the time that gets its own show on 4 Extra. So, Mel is next. I'll be back an hour from now with the Wordsmiths at Gorsemere and Arthur Smith in the right time. Join me at 5 o'clock, if you can.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello, it's me, Mel Gedroych, and this is Friday's 4 o'clock show. And what a Friday it is. Let's do the dance. Come on. Yeah. Move your shoulders and move your hips to the side. Good. Our story, Bruce Coville's My Teacher is an Alien, comes to its thrilling conclusion. Will Susan and her allies save the pupils from the aliens? Hopefully. But at the moment, the friends are a little bit nervy.
I kept expecting aliens to leap out of the bushes and grab me. When something did jump out of the bushes, I screamed so high and so loud I was surprised I didn't break the glass in the street lamp overhead. But it was only Peter.
Our story is read by Lisa Bonet and is on towards the end of the show. Also coming up today in our special celebration of Edinburgh Zoo's 100th anniversary, I visited a giant panda.
That's Yangwan.
That's Yangwan.
Oh, he is so cute. Cute.
Edinburgh Zoo's giant panda's coming up very soon now. And as if that wasn't enough, we'll hear from Voyager, the first man-made object to leave the solar system with its message for other worlds.
Hello from the children of planet Earth.
But before we do anything else, there's only the little matter of the magical mystery tour to begin. Regular listeners will know that every day we head off on the aforementioned magical mystery tour. My job, it's responsible, is to get us there. Yeah, I do know where we're going, thank goodness. You don't. And your job is to work out our destination from the clues that I decide to give you throughout the show. So here we go. Today's first clue is, in the centre of the flag of this country is a wheel. Where are we going? More clues will come up later in the show, so stay tuned. All this week on the 4 o'clock show, we've been celebrating Edinburgh Zoo's 100th anniversary year by meeting some of their lovely and extraordinary animals. And today, yeah, it's the big ones. They are the big stars of the zoo. Edinburgh's the only zoo in the country to have giant pandas, and of course, they've hardly been out of the headlines this year because of, well, the possibility of panda babies. When we were at the zoo, no one really knew if Tian Tian was pregnant, although she was nesting, which meant that we couldn't see her. But we did see the male, Yangwang. I was there with my daughter Floss, and our guide was Edinburgh Zoo's Aaron Sagar.
Hey,
here we are at the world famous Edinburgh Zoo panda enclosure. They've been
pretty
here
well known, aren't we?
They've been here 2 years now, haven't they?
It's not far off. It'll be 2 years in December.
Gosh.
Very exciting 2 years. You ready to come see some pandas?
Absolutely. Yep. Oh.
This is him. He's doing what he does best. Look at him. He's snoozing away.
That's Yang Guang.
That's Yang Guang.
Oh, he is so cute.
Oh, blue head.
We can just see his head at the moment because he's very much nestled in his bamboo, I presume.
Well, he's surrounded by his favourite thing in the world. Yeah, you can see a little carrot down there. There's probably apples shoved around him somewhere as well, but 99% of what this fella eats is bamboo.
Wow, he's just mad for the bamboo.
He is. And somehow he makes himself a 20 and a half stone bear out of it, which is quite impressive.
And do you have to grow the bamboo to feed his appetite?
We're able to do some of it. We're quite lucky in the climate here. We don't praise the Edinburgh climate all that often, but it's really, really good for pandas and therefore for bamboo as well. But the amount that he eats is astonishing, so most of it comes in from the Netherlands by plane.
By plane?
Yeah.
Goodness me. So how much bamboo does he get through a week?
Well, the daily amount is pretty staggering. It's around 40 or 45 kilograms of bamboo.